The following program is paid for by the Hawkeye Huddle. Brought to you by Angie Lancaster Remax, G-Migs 5th Street Pub, and Deary Brothers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Waukee. Now, live from G-Migs 5th Street Pub in Valley Junction, this is the Hawkeye Huddle with David Creighton Jr. and Brett Ridge.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Hawkeye Huddle. Brett Ridge, David Creighton Jr. with you here at G-Migs, as our good friend Danny just let you all know, and it is the last show of this, the 23-24 season for us. Well,
the finality.
The finale of our 20th, excuse me, 20th season on the air. We will take a brief break starting next week.
Recharge the batteries.
Get
ready for football season.
We're going to coach baseball for the next six, eight weeks and see how that goes. And then we'll see. Then we'll really take a break.
Yeah. Reminder: I need to get the schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we got a game Tuesday.
Not today.
No. Next Tuesday.
Yeah. All right.
So that'll be interesting. But last show of the year. It is amazing when you go through 35, 36 weeks of Hawkeye sports. We start this thing the last week of August every year. The week before the first football game.
Right.
Actually, I think we usually give ourselves an extra week, like one preview week and then game week, right?
I don't even know.
But in any case,
that
we
seems
start
like
on the patio.
3 years ago.
I know it does. We started on the patio this year. I think we did last year.
We could have finished today. I know. Finished on the patio. It's so nice out.
We started on the patio here at G-Migs, and we went several weeks out there. And through that Hawkeye football season where they – won 10 games, went to another Big Ten championship, rolled right into Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeye women's basketball team, starting with a 52,000
in the football stadium
watching them in a scrimmage against DePaul, and ending with this last weekend's festivities at the Final Four. Iowa, of course, winning on Friday night, 71-69. David and I sat in these exact same seats on Friday night, watch that game. And then we were here. We didn't get our regular seats. We'd take up too much space. on Sunday, as they went down 87-75 to an absolutely terrific South Carolina basketball team. I don't know that we can hang your head for losing to that team. That's a large, fast, skilled basketball team, as much as I've seen in women's basketball, I think. I mean, I know there have been some really good ones.
Since the UConn days, you know, where they won 100 in a row and those sorts of things. If you play them 10 times, they might win 9.
Yep. Well,
I would guess 7. I would think Hawks...
Well, we said that the other day. I think the Hawks could have pulled out 1 or 2 because South Carolina could have shot worse. And Iowa missed... It was coming out of halftime...
Well, not to mention just even the turnover right there
before
at the end
the
of
half. Right, but coming out of halftime, you missed.
Which is somewhat demoralizing.
Yes.
Because you had a chance to, you know, maybe take the lead.
Maybe have the lead at halftime
and lose that. And, you know, it's just South Carolina is good. They've got 9 really good basketball players. Iowa was down to 7. And outside of Caitlin, I would venture to say that South Carolina was better at every position. And, you know, they had that Pirates of the Caribbean star, Cardoza, playing center, 6'9" with the afro. And she was something. And Iowa had no answer for that. And, if Sharon Goodman would have been able to contribute in any manner, at least she would have been tall enough to be in her way.
She didn't have
the foot speed or anything like that.
Well, neither at this point does A.J. Ettinger, who... you know, was a fairly high-level recruit for Iowa, has not gotten to that level either. She just didn't have a big that could stick with her. And that frankly, Iowa loses the rebounding, I believe, 51-29.
Right.
I mean, that rebounding total.
I think it was 17 in the first half, and when you give up second-chance opportunities against a really good team...
18 offensive boards they had.
You know, it's so tough. And Iowa had, I don't remember how many turnovers they had. I had 14 or something like that. And so those are lost possessions. And yet they still scored 75 points. They hung in that game. They were in the game till the end. I certainly through the third quarter.
Hey, listen, they got down 14. Well, first of all, as we said, they came out at halftime. They missed six of their first seven shots while South Carolina knocked a couple in. If Iowa knocks it, and these are not guarded shots. They were just open threes. Right. Iowa missed two or three of them and a layup in there. They got down 14. They found a way to cut it to 80-75 with about 2.5, 3 minutes to go. And I, in fact, had to go back and look to remember what happened there. Kate Martin got called for dragging her foot.
Oh, yes.
In the lane. Now, she did drag her foot.
Yeah, no question.
No question.
Much like that UConn was an offensive foul.
Yeah. However, you see a lot of hopping and dragging of feet, you know. But it was blatant, right? It was right. It was wide open. Everybody could see it. It was right there. She dragged her foot. Traveling call, and Iowa never recovered. South Carolina went down, hit a three, got up eight. Iowa tried to come back, and Caitlin tried one from half court. That was probably not the most judicious shot of her day. And it just snowballed for her. But they had it at 80-75, five down. With 2.5, 3 minutes to go against this team,
that's
with the ball and without playing your best game. Had Iowa shot, this is where you go back to: could they have done a Villanova versus Georgetown 1983, where you shoot 70%?
Well, you wouldn't have even needed that.
Right,
55% probably.
60, right.
And you know, I don't know what Caitlin was from three, off the top of my head. I don't remember. It's fair to say that if, let's say, she shoots 50% from three, that's three more, or four, and that, you know, I mean, but ifs and buts. It's an incredible year for a team that lost McKenna Warnock, Monica Shizano last year, and Kate and Gabby came back so that they could do this.
Run it back one last dance. Did not get anybody in the portal. Okay, not that they didn't chase a couple, but they did not get anybody in the portal.
Could you imagine if they had gotten the big girl from UCLA, who was between us and UCLA?
She just didn't want to leave the West Coast.
Well, I
think Tom Cakert would tell you that there was really no mutual interest there, right? It was just kind of like, oh, that's another nice one for me, but I'm staying on the West Coast.
Sort of like your eighth grade year.
Yeah, I had a lot.
There's no mutual interest.
Yeah. So more like a million, one in a million. But they didn't add anybody, and so you thought, well, maybe this is going to be a little bit more challenging because you thought they needed to get a big, you thought they needed to get somebody. But Hannah Stolke, as we said in December, it was a differently constructed team. They ran the ball a lot differently. They went to the hole a lot differently. A lot less post up.
Still led the country in scoring.
I do want to go back to a little bit of breaking down Friday night because I don't want to lose sight of the fact that in the loss to South Carolina, I'd lose sight of the fact they beat UConn. They beat Geno, who'd been there 23 times now to the Final Four, who's the greatest women's basketball coach of all time. It's not even close. Actually, still, even in complaining and being upset after the game, is extremely interesting to listen to. Super smart. You listen to him talk about NIL and problems with that and kids today, and he's just really something to listen to. They beat him. They beat Paige Beckers, who, by the way, usually averages 28 points a game. They held her under 20. They put Gabby. We wondered last week, who do you put on her, right? Well, they didn't start with her there. They had Sid on her, I think, to start with, right? But Gabby ended up covering her in the second half. She only scored 2 points in the second half. They played great there. Hannah Stolke had 23, led the team in scoring, not Caitlin Clark. And there they were, down 12 in the first half and couldn't shoot. Things weren't going right, and they made their comeback, actually got a 9-point lead.
And then tried really hard not to lose.
Right. And the thing that we noticed in the second half was in that game, Iowa tried to run the ball like they normally do, up the court, throwing long passes, and it wasn't resulting in anything but turnovers or missed shots. And so at halftime, nothing official here, but I believe Lisa, because we didn't see it again, Lisa told her to stop that. And Iowa brought the ball up quickly, but not with a lot of long lead passes that could get knocked out of bounds. And the turnovers went from 12 at halftime, and they only had two in the next 18 minutes until the last minute of the game. They had two in that last minute of the game. But there again, coaching, changing up defenses, changing up offenses. Don't sleep on Lisa Bluter and her X's and O's and Jan Jensen and the way that they do things on that bench. in terms of turning things around, because they beat UConn not only with the talent that they had, but I believe that they coached with at least Gene Auriemma that night.
Well, I don't think there's any question they did it, in whether it was adjustments, even just plays that they were running, getting good open looks. And Friday night, what happened is that Sitifalter made a huge three to stop a UConn run. And we didn't get that really on Sunday. Gabby made a big three to
right out of the half that was big, and there's another stop
to get
run.
Things
yeah.
going. And we got a little bit of that on Sunday, but not enough. And it was a great win. The gauntlet that Iowa went through, Holy Cross notwithstanding, had they won, it would have been the greatest run through a women's basketball tournament ever.
No question.
Likely, one that would never, ever
repeated. You can't duplicate that because you played so many tough teams and
because
coaches.
West Virginia, who probably should have been a 5 seed. Then you beat Colorado, who Sweet 16 team, who beat LSU, oh, by the way, in the very first game of this season. Then you beat the defending national champs, LSU. Then you beat UConn, the best women's program going. And then you had to go up against the undefeated South Carolina. Keep in mind, South Carolina is like 77-1 in the last 2 years.
One loss to Iowa.
That was it. And the way that that team looks like it's constructed outside of losing Barbosa.
You're going to keep going with the Pirates of Caribbean.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, outside of losing her, and she's going to be probably a top five or top seven
She's got to be top five,
in
right? Even though there are probably five more skilled players. How do you not take the player that can get you all those rebounds if that's what you're missing on your team?
Right.
Somebody, right? There will be a situation.
You can't coach 6'7" in the women's game.
No.
And so, you know, you have to look at how good they are. I mean, Geno's team won 100 in a row or something like that. If they go 35-0 next year or something,
which could happen.
I mean, I don't know. You know,
it could happen.
It's tough to do. Dawn Staley's done a remarkable job there. I appreciate the fact that she kind of walked back some of the comments that she had made, you know, regarding Caitlin and those other things. And you know, Gino did too. I think not everybody. Diana Taurasi certainly didn't give Caitlin any flowers. But at the end of the day, the respect, the marketing, the putting Iowa in a women's basketball atmosphere with those top five teams for the second year in a row. Lisa has, I don't want to call it a responsibility, but a real opportunity to leverage all of that goodwill, the fan base and all those kinds of things, both in recruiting, continuing to play well, good Lord. You're losing 75% of your scoring in rebounding and all those kinds of things. That's a big hole.
They're not in the way too early top 25. They're not there, right?
Okay.
Because they got to plug some holes. Now, I think if they didn't plug any, there's a good recruiting. They believe their best ever total recruiting class coming in.
Is Addie Deal next year or no?
No, she's 25.
Okay.
She's 25.
It's but pretty old
she,
for a recruit.
So she's number 10, and the other gal they've got so far in 2025 is number 36 in the country, and they're working on number 12, number 18.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so they're looking at all top 50 players possibly in that deal, Madden Greenway being one of those as well, okay? But this next group has is all top 100 players again, including I think the Guyton, A.J. Guyton's kid from Indianapolis.
Oh, right.
And a number, but several players. The question is, will any of them be able to? I think Ava Hayden is one of the other ones who's supposed to possibly come in and play. You know, these are the kids that can come in and play, but can they play right away, and how well will they work in? So, obviously.
You got Fuhrbach, who's going to come back. You've got McCabe, who's going to come back. Certainly Hannah, Sid.
There's talent there and Gimpy and a couple of the other gals that didn't play at all this year.
And
you know,
the girl from Johnston who's like comic relief. I mean,
yeah. And there's also the one I can't remember her name. So there's four top 100 players. There is one non-starred player that's coming with next year. The gal from Solon, who will probably end up being something, right? Right. They'll probably make.
She'll be good.
I know. And they say that she just needs work, and they'll find a role for her, right? But she's going to be one of those role players.
She could be Molly Davis.
Molly Davis. So,
which was, by the way, how cool to get her.
That's cool that they got her on the court. Very happy. I wish they would have passed her the ball.
10 seconds. Yeah. She could barely move.
Yeah, but still. Well, I saw her shooting the other night. I mean, once she warms up, she can do that.
But nevertheless.
Anyway, your point is well taken. I think Lisa has to look at this. They have an open scholarship. They may have another one here and there, depending on what's going on. They're going to need. They have a responsibility to stay where they are. They have put themselves now into that top five group. You're right. They are now on par program-wise in around the country in that top five, top ten conversation.
Absolutely.
Consistently because of what they've done. And then as you look back at the way that they had these great players in the Big Ten and nationally over the last few years, they are sitting there, and you don't want to become irrelevant even for 1 year. Now, if it goes for 1 year but you still bring in all these recruits, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be back. But the portal is there. We're going to have to see how it goes. There's a number of kids that have entered in. The one that I thought we're all excited about it maybe is this
girl from Villanova.
Lucy Olson from Villanova.
Number three scorer in the country.
Yeah, and apparently she's not a great shooter. She's 30% from three, but she gets them all going to the hole. I would take that. I think that would be great with this team because I think you have three-point shooters to distribute the ball to. Is there any mutual interest at this point? I don't know. But that's certainly somebody who's in the Northeast, not so much down south and not so much West Coast. There's a good possibility you might be able to attract that person.
Assuming she doesn't
Midwest.
Go to UConn.
Well, or she could go to UConn. But UConn just got the number one recruit in the country again, and they're loaded. They're loaded again.
If you
want to go play right now for a top 10 team, you go to Iowa.
No question. I mean, South Carolina, those nine players, every one of them would have started for Iowa.
And there's no room in South Carolina for them to pick up much. They might need another center, I guess.
Who knows? I imagine she's got 3'6", 4", 6'5" girls sitting on the bench. I don't know.
The one thing we don't have is quite the war chest in terms of NIL that LSU does and even South Carolina at this point. But, okay, that we've got money, right? We just probably don't have that same war chest.
Well, you don't know.
Somebody could come along if for the right recruit.
You know who that could be? Caitlin Clark.
She's got money. Yeah, this just in. She's got $5 million to go play 10 games with Ice Cube. Right?
I mean, she could turn around and scratch a check for $500,000 and miss it.
I did after Diana Taurasi was trashing her the other night. All those WNBA players kind of trashing her and playing her down. I love the suggestion. Go play your 10 games with Ice Cube. Go to the Olympics. Make your $5 million, and tell them all. Stick your middle finger up and go. And tell them I'm going to go home and coach basketball for the rest of my life and not have to deal with
that
any.
That was my friend Ray's idea.
No pressure, right? Just do it, right?
Right.
And then you guys, sorry, we're not bringing any money to your league. I'm not going to be dishing passes to you, and you guys don't get anything out of this.
I don't think that's
good
she
luck.
Wants
no,
to be, though.
But. No, but good luck selling tickets, right?
Right.
Yeah, anyway. All right, let's take a break. There is football news, too, so we'll talk about that. We'll break some more down on the Iowa women's trip to the Final Four. And in our final edition of the year, we'll get things going here. What am I saying? We're already gone. I'm having trouble signing up. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back on the Hawkeye Huddle on 1350 ESPN Des Moines.
More live NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and college football on 102.1 FM and 1350 ESPN Des Moines Sports Leader.
And we're back here on the Hawkeye Huddle. Brett Ridge, Dave Creighton Jr., our last show of the year here at GMIGS. When we say year, we mean the season, I suppose. We'll be back in August. Lord willing, we always knock on
Lord willing.
I feel like our relationship with 1350 has worked out very well this year. They've done great for us.
Certainly has. I want to especially thank Peter Camp, who's been our producer,
putting up with our headaches
and working with us all year. And Pete, we appreciate everything you've done for us for the last 35, 36 weeks. And one of those things is always getting Tom Cakert on the line.
We don't even have to ask. We just say, hello, Tom Cakert. Welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, how are you?
And he's there.
Are you supposed to say, good Lord willing and the creeks don't rise?
And the creeks don't rise, yeah.
That's the old saying,
exactly right?
It is showing our age, aren't we?
I,
I will say this. It wouldn't bother me if the creeks around here started to rise. We could use a little more water.
A little bit of that.
A little rain. Yeah. Don't wish that because then you're going to get too much.
Exactly. We don't need 35 inches in a month.
No.
Okay.
No. We don't.
We are showing our age after 20 years, Tom. And I think what we saw this last weekend, it's been interesting to hear different people put it into their own perspective as to where it fits in their in the greatness of their Hawkeye memories. But where does this women's Final Four and this team fit on your Mount Rushmore of Hawkeye sports?
Oh, I think it's probably the best story that I've covered doing this beat. I really do. I think it's just the two-year run, the impact. I think it's more the impact that Caitlin and this team have had on people. I think that's
right.
where it impacts me more than anything else is just the, I was doing our podcast this afternoon with Kyle, who was in Cleveland covering it for us. And I was sharing with him, like, Sunday before the game, I was ran to Hy-Vee, west side of Davenport, and literally everyone in the Hy-Vee on that Sunday late morning was wearing something that said Iowa Hawkeyes on it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it was like being in a variety of them
were wearing shirts that Happy Hannah or the glue or headband, art, you know, everything. I mean, it was, and there were a lot of 22s wandering around too, but it was literally everyone was engaged in this game. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me last week and were just like, you know, wanted to talk about this team just randomly. Hey, don't you cover Iowa? Yeah, I do. What do you think they're going to do?
Don't tell anyone.
What do you think they're going to do? And, you know, what are your thoughts? And it was just never, you know, you get it every once in a while, but nothing like this. I mean, and they have just, I'm just really excited to see what happens in the next 10 years. We're going to hear from girls and boys, I think, that were motivated by this team.
Absolutely.
Yep. Inspired by this.
So, Tom,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to share another story. Like, my family out in California who aren't Hawkeyes. I mean, it's my step family, and they weren't raised here. My dad went out to California and got remarried before he passed away.
Right.
But I'm still really close with them and my stepsisters. And they have kids who are, you know, 10, 12 years old. And even the boys are wearing Caitlin Clark stuff out there. And they're
love it.
And they're like the coolest kids in school because their cool Uncle Tom sends them stuff, you know?
Right.
It's just awesome. It's awesome.
It is awesome. One of the things that Brett and I were musing is there, if Kate Martin wanted to not play basketball anymore, is there
she
a chance
she play, though.
She does. So she's going to go to Europe.
Yeah. She's going to, you know, I guess she'll get an invite to a WNBA camp, but then she'll end up going overseas and playing.
Okay.
And that's awesome. I think she wants to chase it for a little bit.
Well, and, why not? As long as your nose doesn't get broken anymore.
and it's like somebody on the message board said, you look at the Instagram from Monica Sozzano right now, and she's traveling the world. I mean, who would want to do that? Spend a little time and, you know, kind of cash some checks and go see, you know, what it's like in Budapest and wherever else in, mm-hmm. in the world, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, and Megan did the same thing.
Right.
And so, I
think the way to look at the question, is when does she come back to coaching? And I think there's a fair to middling chance that someday you for sure see her on the bench in Iowa City, and who knows down the road if you don't see both her and Caitlin on the bench in Iowa City.
You know, in later years,
it'd be interesting. Yeah.
You know what I'm really curious about is And I haven't talked to Lisa Bluterin, you know, privately or anything.
Right.
Don't have anything. But I'm just kind of curious. How much longer does she want to do this?
Yeah.
Well,
right now, the way things are rolling with the recruits they got, they got lined up.
It gets
awful fun. It gets awful fun when you got players, right? I mean, it really does. Hey, I guess I want to move on a little bit to football because there's some actual news there. But I'll wrap this up. I think you hit on the thing that I would go. We were sitting here the other day, and as we're getting ready to get out of here, we watched the game here, Tom, at G-Migs, and we were talking about the Mount Rushmore of Iowa, and I think for some of us, it's the 1981 Final Four team. For the men with that group, there's the Tom Davis 1987 team that was number one in the country for a while.
Yep.
Then you get into football with Kirk Ferentz, and I put it over Hayden Fry's teams. And maybe the 1985 Iowa
85
football team.
85.
Yes.
85.
And then 2002 Kirk Ferentz and 2015. Yep. And 2000 and all of these, the reason that they get there is because they were part of the national conversation for such a long time. The difference here is, and what elevates this one, I'm not saying it goes to the top, you know, as the greatest. Maybe it does, like you said.
It does.
But what elevates it is literally, as you said, the effect on people all over the country, and it's echoed in one big number, 18.3 million viewers. And last night, the men's final had 14.3 million viewers.
It was 18.7, actually.
18.7.
With a peak of 24.
So the women's final outdrew the men's final, and not just by a little bit, but by a lot.
Wow.
And that, to me, it's the line from Miracle. This is what you've done. This is what you've earned.
One thing you have to point out, though, is the men's championship game was on WTBS or TBS or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, right. Whatever it's called.
And the other one was on ABC. It was WTBS for us guys, right? You know.
Yeah, that's right.
We're watching
the Braves
game on there.
Yeah. Superstars.
Yeah. Yeah. The game. You know. Yeah. You know.
That is true. It is. They've screwed themselves up for the men's tournament with the way they've done that. And 9:20 start didn't help either. I get that. Let's just think about what this means, right?
Yeah, one other thing I would say is, you know, you mentioned something that I think is really key, that Iowa was in the national conversation. Iowa women's basketball was the conversation, not
just part
of a national conversation. Yeah. They were the conversation, and that's incredible, and that's really cool. And
it is cool.
I'm just so, you know, and yeah. You know, you have people, just random folks around the country are like, they know who Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall and Hannah Stilke and Sita Falter and Kylie Fierbach. They know who all these people are. It's just so cool, you know, that those.
Caitlin, currently on ESPN right now, live interview as we're sitting here.
Yeah, won the Wooden Award. Award.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but shocker.
You're right. There was not a conversation had on any national program this year about women's basketball that didn't mention Caitlin Clark and Iowa basketball. And that's why, you're right, this has to be at the top of those stories.
And this is why I don't understand why, and I get it, there's some, you know, kind of pettiness or whatever. Who is this girl? But I'm sure Tiger Woods faced some of that too when he was coming on the PGA Tour, and guys are, who is this hotshot kid? Well, guess what that hotshot kid did? He put a lot of green in your pocket, you know,
because
he drew ratings.
She's going to do the same. Yeah.
And
yeah, she's going to do the same.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to put her in the Tiger Woods category because he is the, you know,
oh, yes.
Right. You know, when you talk about earning power,
he's the
greatest
goat of all goats.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. When, I mean, you know, it's him and Jack as, you know, greatest golfer of all time. But in terms of elevating the sport and putting money in the pocket of the 100+ players that are on tour with him, nobody's like Tiger Woods. I mean, that's,
oh, my gosh.
You know, and the WNBA has been a secondary sport at best. And it's going to get completely elevated this year because it's not like this is going away. I mean, they start playing in May. So, right. You know, they're going to get the kind of that second wave of the Caitlin effect. And they should be thankful. Be thankful.
Of course they should.
Hey, you know, I'm not going to dump. Go compete with her. Go compete with
right.
her.
Right. Right.
For sure. Go, but, that's what you do. Yeah. But don't.
But,
yeah. Don't tear her down. Don't. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and here's the thing that Diana Taurasi and the old guard are missing. There will be butts in the seats for them to play in every time they play the Fever. And
that's going to be increased salaries.
Absolutely. In revenue, in the TV ratings, I don't know what they were last year for the WNBA final game.
Not good.
Vegas versus Brooklyn. But I'll bet you that the very first game the Fever has is going to be higher than that
one.
Oh,
yeah. And they're moving. They're changing arenas. They're moving some of them to larger arenas to sell those tickets.
Yeah, Vegas has already decided they're going to go to the next place.
You know what? I just hope that the, and I don't know if burden is the right word, but I just don't hope. I hope all of this doesn't start swallowing Caitlin up a little bit.
Yeah, changing her a little bit. Yeah,
fatigue of the season. And I'll say this, you know, people out there who don't get behind the curtain and don't cover the team and don't know what it's like. She's been perfect this year. I mean,
yeah.
You know, 10 a.m. press conferences. She's there answering every question, you know, and not being a jerk. Never been a jerk. Never. I mean, she patiently answers all the questions.
She was raised right.
And that's what I said on the podcast today. I said that's a credit to her parents. Because she's the genuine article. She really is. I'll share another story quick. I was coming in, and this was at a men's game, and she was with her significant other.
Connor.
Wandering by. I don't want to talk about them being a couple or anything, but that's their private life, and they should be able to live that the way they want. But there were some other, like, friends of some of the players that are on the men's team from the high school level that were there. And this tells you exactly how she is. She was more than happy to take a picture with these group of people. And she shook hands with everyone and said, hi, I'm Caitlin. Everybody knows who the hell you are. You know? But that just tells you that she was raised right. That, you know, she doesn't make an assumption that everybody knows who she is. And that she's bigger than everybody else, that she doesn't need to introduce herself to somebody. Mm-hmm. These are high school kids, you know? So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's just, you know, she's a good person. She really is.
She sure is.
And, you know, I think
why don't you
one
ask
of the
your football question.
I know. We keep going on this, but I will just say this: she's right from right here in West Des Moines. Right, she's from right up the street. She lived right here. She.
They showed her elementary school before the game. There's 500 kids in the gym.
Right, the gym that she got the private gym she'd work out in. Dan Keough, I've known the guy for 25 years. Right, I mean, these are people we've been acquainted with, and we know, and that's one of the other reasons to be proud of her is. She's from here. It was Iowa Nice.
She's one of us.
Rubbed off on her, right? From all these people that she knew, all these coaches, all these people in this area rubbed off on her the right way. And it's just great to feel that pride in your own state, city. Okay, football question real quick.
Before we let you go,
football questions. You've had a chance to talk to some kids today. It sounds like they're actually changing the offense, Tom. Are they actually changing the offense?
It sounds like there's a lot of motion, a lot of stuff to confuse your eyes, a lot of movement. I can tell you, I've heard from people who've been at practice this spring who are like, it's different. They're scoring touchdowns. They're making big plays. There's explosive plays happening. And now that, you know, it's a lot of the second stringers are out there for the defense. So, it's, you know, take it with that. But even when some of the first stringers are in there, they're getting scored on. And this is with the second string quarterbacks. So, you know, there's some good things happening, I think. We'll get a little sneak peek, I think, on Thursday. We get in there for like 20 minutes, which means they're just going to do stretching and special teams because that's how it always works. But, you know, we're a little more than a week away from getting to look at them in spring practice, and I'm really, really jazzed to see what they look like.
April 20th, 10:45 a.m. If folks want to go to Kinnick and watch the spring scrimmage.
Can a suit get you in?
I don't think they even do that anymore. Yeah. But you'll have to pay attention to HawkeyeReport.com, the On3 Network, if you want to get any further information, because we're not going to be around next week to tell
right.
you what happened. But last little question. Is this Lincoln Kindholz thing, the transfer kid from Ohio State?
No.
That's not happening, right? It's just it's just a silly rumor, right? Okay.
I
saw where his mom said it's not even going to happen, right? Huh?
Yeah. I don't even know where this thing got started. But
probably at a bar.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that Iowa's not going to add a portal quarterback. It's just
I think they will.
Right.
I think they will, but
right.
I just don't think it's going to be him. It may be somebody from the Ohio State roster.
That's interesting to hear.
I like to hear that.
Nice little.
The last guy we got from Ohio State was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and he might know the kid that you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
where's
Tom.
Odd jersey number for a quarterback.
Okay. Well, we'll just write 20s? That out. We'll have the intern do the look up.
There we go. All right, Tom. Thank you so much for being part of the show for the last 20
Absolutely.
Years. We appreciate
Anytime,
you so
guys.
Much.
Yeah.
Love
All right. Well, we will catch
it.
You in August, my friend. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Appreciate everything he does for us. It's been fun.
You know, the beauty of the fact that this show is paid for by the Hawkeye Huddle means we don't have heartbreaks.
No.
So
we flew through. We're going to have a bunch of commercials in a row.
That's all right.
Let's get to them. We'll be back on the Hawkeye Huddle on 1350 ESPN Des Moines.
As local as steak to Virgo and Maytag cheese. 102.1 FM and 1350 ESPN Des Moines.
And we're back here on the Hawkeye Huddle. Brett Ridge, Dave Payton Jr. with you at G-Migs. Want to thank them for hosting us this year again. We really appreciate all that they do for us. Put up with us a little bit. And at the same time, hopefully we add to the atmosphere here. I think we do. If nothing else, we come in and spend enough money on the weekends.
It's a zero-sum game.
It is. I think they get their money back. But
I'm pretty sure they do.
But we appreciate it. And of course, Angie Lancaster, Remax Concepts, for supporting us this year. And our friends at Deary Brothers came on this year. Deary Brothers out in Waukee. Jeep Dodge Wrangler.
Ram, Jeep Dodge Ram
out there in Waukee. Appreciate them also supporting the Hawkeye Huddle. And we've got some possible big plans for next year in terms of trying to keep this thing afloat.
I'm working on some deals.
Okay. We'll hope that all bears fruit.
The commission rate is always the same.
That's right.
0.00.
Last couple of bits on football, by the way. Cooper DeJean had his workout.
4.43.
Well, more impressively, here's what it is. He scored a 9.89 out of 10.
Oh, I saw that.
Which since 1987, 2,800 and some players have gone through and done this. He was number 28 out of all the players that have gone through since 2000. He's in the top 1% score-wise.
Did he not do one drill, some agility drill, the cone drill or something?
I didn't see that.
I saw somebody kind of... Well, he didn't do the agility drill. What's that tell you?
I don't know. Well, all I know is that he scored in the top 1% in the history of the NFL Combine and workouts.
Somebody is going to get a deal.
Somebody's going to get it.
And
hey,
if I'm the Packers and they need players in the defensive backfield, I'm moving up. If I'm the Bears, I take them at one.
I'm watching. You know, as a Vikings fan, there's 52 websites that have had their mock drafts. He's been there in 17 of them for the Vikings even. And that's with the 11 and the 23 pick, and that would be the Vikings, like, getting Penix or somebody and taking Cooper earlier.
I thought
Penix
Seattle
later.
Was going to go to Penix.
Well, I don't know. He may last. He's moved up the board. But anyway, I wouldn't mind seeing that, I'll tell you that. So I'd love to see him playing somewhere nearby with one of our teams around here. It'd be kind of fun.
You have to say this. In the last, let's just say, 5 years, say 7 years, since 2015. Okay, let's go to that team. Since that team, the players that have been drafted from Iowa have all
been oh, the success has just been unreal.
And,
yes,
and
they've been money. It's money. It's a. It's a. It's a.
I mean, Riley Moss.
It's a. It's a. Your negative money bet. You're.
Yes.
You're losing money to bet on that, right?
Yes. And I mean,
you win when you bet, but you lose.
It's across the board. The character of the guys that come out of the University of Iowa and go to the NFL, they immediately understand what they're doing. They don't. Their learning curve is exponentially faster than virtually everybody else, and they play and they play well. Somebody's going to get a steal when they get Cooper.
Intern says there is a quarterback on the Ohio State roster named Devin Brown, who is number 33. That is a bit odd of a number for a quarterback. Devin Brown, he was the number 43 player and.
Maybe
a couple
maybe
years ago, number six quarterback.
Because Ohio State wants him to play fullback.
So, and he's a junior, and he's not, like, way up on their depth chart.
Is
so
there any chance he could transfer to Iowa, give Deacon 33, and he can go to fullback?
I'd move Deacon to fullback. I'd do that.
Oh,
anyway.
Boy, long snapper.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, the baseball team lost 2 out of 3 at home to Michigan this week. Unfortunately, that season just doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot better. We were rooting for them. We know there's a lot of potential there, but they're 16-13
right
on the year, 5-4. Pay attention. They may wrap things up with a good Big Ten tournament, but right now not looking real good for them. All right, we'll take our final break of the year. We'll be back and wrap things up on the Hawkeye Huddle on 102.1 FM and 1350 ESPN Des Moines.
Don't miss the sports talk. Wicket's World, Fridays at noon on 102.1 FM and 1350 ESPN, Des Moines sports leader.
The end is near.
Oh, Pete, this is
nice.
Solid.
The final curtain.
Oh,
well done, Peter.
Yes, we're not.
I'll say it clear.
The chairman of the board is going to sing
I'll
us out this week.
We did it our way.
We always do it our way. It's not exactly the formula.
No.
Right? I mean, we don't do a lot of guests. We really don't do interviews.
We'll get Tom, but other than that, right.
We're kind of lazy is what we are.
It's not so much that. You talk too much, and I'm too unprepared.
It comes down to... We get 40 minutes a week at most on the air, and it fills – the time just goes.
It does.
So
we're going to 6:02, Pete. No, I'm just kidding.
The time just goes. Really no men's basketball to talk about much. There's some portal targets out there. Nothing solid at this point. In fact, it looks like it's tough sledding for Fran right now. He's not getting the pick of the litter up front.
I'll take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
What's the name of the kid from Indiana State? Just entered the portal today, right?
Yeah. Andrew, what's the Indiana State kid's name?
Robbie Avila.
There are a number of connections that have been made. Tom has a good article on HawkeyeReport.com of where they think there's been some contacts made at this point. But a number of them they're considering still long shots, right? So we'll see. Definitely needs to happen for him because,
interesting article on The Athletic about Beth Getz.
Yes, and Doctorman wrote a good one, yeah.
What they're talking about is relates to the men's basketball program.
Well,
she understands that there needs to be something tweaked, just like the wrestling. Speaking of wrestling, Warner got third in the pre-Olympic trials.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
It's the only news I have there on the wrestling front.
And she understands that there needs to be something new done to Carver, and they've done the feasibility studies, and they... We'll be talking about what exactly that's going to look like, but they're definitely, I'm sure there's renovations on the.
Why don't they implode it, rebuild it, put a statue of Caitlin out front?
I do think they're going to, literally, because it's built into the ground, I do think you're going to see them gut the middle of it and put in boxes and bathrooms and a second and sort of a concourse level in the middle and some stuff down below. I think they're going to do that.
That would help a lot.
They may shrink the capacity down to like 12 or 13,000. Big deal. Right. This year it would have been nice. You know, it was nice to have 15,000 for women's 14-3 or whatever it was. But you know, when you're only drawing 7 or 8,000, you want to make sure you can draw 12 and make it a much better experience for everybody.
Michigan basketball, for as great as it's been, I bet they didn't get 6,000 this year.
No.
At Chrysler.
No, probably not. You same thing. Old arena.
No, that's
old
super arena. Old. That's super old.
Yeah. Okay. So looking forward to next year. Quick. Your last call will be next year's football record, at least over under.
Well, I'm taking the over on 7.5.
Yeah, absolutely. Totals?
Honestly, I'm looking for 9 or 10.
We don't know who else is going to be on the team. I'm looking for 9. Okay?
Okay.
If we make a couple of significant additions.
I mean, Washington 10. Is coming to Iowa City, and they're not going to be.
But they lose most of their, a lot of their guys.
Like 18 guys. Yep. And the Iowa defense is going to be stellar.
3 All-Americans coming back.
That's a good place to start.
We just
got to find a quarterback, and hopefully Cade's able to rehab, come back, and not be brittle and be here for the full season.
It'd be nice, and if these changes that are being made, that's great. So that's football, men's basketball.
Oh, good Lord, I have no idea. If they could be over 500 and get a sniff of the NCAA tournament, that'd be amazing.
I think if they keep everybody that's there now and add Chris Tajo, I don't know who they're going to get from the portal, but if they keep everybody, they'll be back in the same spot they were this year. They'll be right on the bubble. If they can make an addition through the portal or two, I think they can get further because Josh Dix is going to get better. Peyton Sanford will be an NBA player someday, and he will get better. Brock Harding's going to get better. Owen Freeman is a freshman that we're playing. And Tajo is a man. If you watch it, he's going to be an enforcer in there. The combination of him and Owen Freeman is what we were missing this year in terms of defensive enforcer and a guy who could rebound. I think I'm a little more bullish on that, particularly if we can just get anybody who can be a good, serviceable point guard to complement Brock Harding.
Right, because he can't play 40 minutes.
Women's basketball.
NCAA tournament. Big Ten tournament champs.
Big Ten tournament champs.
No,
NCAA tournament. First round.
For sure.
Round of 32.
Easy.
All right.
Sweet 16.
Sounds good. Wrestling?
Yep.
Yeah, we don't know. We're going to have to see you on that one.
That's too much up in the air for that.
This has been a fun year. We really appreciate it.
Sometimes I'm sick of it. Not this year.
Nope. We just kind of want to keep rolling.
But yeah, right.
Yeah, we'll take our break.
It's good for us.
Hey, again, thanks to Peter Camp for putting up with us back in the studio. Tom Caker of HawkeyeReport.com for 20 years with us. And my friend Dave Creighton Jr.
G. Miggs, Angie Lancaster, Jerry Brothers. Though. Thank you all.
But it's been an enjoyable year, an enjoyable 20
Cheers
years.
To you.
We'll be back next year on the Hawkeye Huddle on 1350 ESPN Des Moines.